In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Blue Wire.
The Detroit Pistons select Sekou Doumbouya.
The boy gets run off the line. Down the lane, my goodness.
Look at that. Pistons come right back at him with a Bruce Brown jam. Dishes to Luke for the long gun. It goes!
Hey everyone, welcome to Pistons versus Everybody, the Detroit Pistons podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lazarus Jackson. It is 7:38 p.m. Eastern Time, the night of the NBA Draft. And so the NBA Draft hasn't started yet, and we're going to try something a little different. I'm going to give you guys something a little bit different. We're going to record multiple times throughout the night and see where everything ends up, just because we don't know the way that tonight's going to run out for the Pistons. We've already seen quite a lot of movement, quite a lot of moves. And so, you know, rather than subject you to, you know, 2.5 hours of me just like openly, you know, musing on what's happening in front of me, we're going to record, we're going to break, we're going to throw some ads in there, we're going to record, we're going to break, and then we're going to close it out probably hopefully later tonight. But yeah, so we do have some stuff to talk about. It's been a while since you've heard me talk on this podcast. The first thing we should probably talk about is the Bruce Brown trade. Bruce Brown was traded to the Brooklyn Nets for Zanin Musa and a 2021 second round pick. My initial reactions are actually up on Detroit Bad Boys. And I think it's fair to say it's a pretty disappointing trade all around. You understand why in a backcourt that was as kind of as crowded as the Detroit Pistons backcourt was and is, it makes sense why a team that was not like fully convinced that Bruce Brown would ever be a starting caliber, you know, point guard or two guard would trade him when they're, you know, looking for those diamonds in the rough. But it is kind of rough because Bruce was a very effective role player for this team, and we had seen Bruce grow significantly between his first and second years. And you know, I liked Bruce a lot. I enjoyed the toughness that Bruce played with on a night in, night out basis. I enjoyed that he was like this, you know, uber athletic combo guy coming out of college, and then his first year right in the league, he's a defensive specialist, which I'm sure was like not what he saw for himself coming into this league, but he, like, you know, it was what he needed to do, and it was what the team needed of him. It was what a playoff team needed of him, and he fell into that role and performed admirably. And then we saw him come out and really improve this second year as a playmaker, as a ball handler, as a perimeter shooter, as a lone, you know, catch and shoot only perimeter shooter. But still, you know, there was marked improvement with Bruce Brown's game, and there was a lot of accusations about, you know, Pistons fans are overvaluing Bruce Brown. He's not that good. You know, why are you guys so mad he's being traded? You know, it sucks. It sucks watching these guys kind of grow up and develop in front of your eyes, and then, you know, have to see them go. Right, Bruce developed here. He seemed to love it here. He formed a really great relationship with Sekou Doumbouya. We saw that Bruce like went live on Instagram right after the trade. It was like very, you could tell he's like pretty sad about everything. Basically just like looked at some comments and said like, I love my boy Sekou, and then quit. Right, like you could tell like there's a very deep friendship there, and it's always tough to see that as well, the personal side, not so much on the basketball side. But yeah, and in return, the Pistons got Zanin Musa. You can read Joseph Sinke, a.k.a. Joe Trucks, deep dive on Zanin Musa up on Detroit Bad Boys. Long story short, Musa is 3 years younger, 4 inches taller, and like maybe could be an offensive engine, and Bruce can't, and that's why the Pistons probably made this trade. I think that there's an opportunity for Musa to be a legit player if he can fix the issues with his shot and shot selection. His lower half gets a lot of whack. He likes to take tough shots, and he's not a particularly proficient three-point shooter over the course of his NBA career. He showed flashes of in the G League, but not against NBA competition. But you know, the hope is that he's 21 and he's still got some stuff to figure out, and that there's a lottery level talent there. If I remember correctly, Greg Polinsky was working for the Knicks at the time and now works for the Pistons. Like that, when Musa was drafted, he said something along the lines of they had him evaluated as like a lottery level talent, and he was drafted at like I think 28 or 29. So they were pretty happy to get him. And then he proved to not really be worthy of that happiness. But hey, like, you know, sometimes you just have guys, right? Like Troy Weaver immediately traded for Justin Patton, right? Like sometimes you just have back of the rotation guys you like. So yeah, that's rough. But I'm going to miss Bruce. Bruce is going to have some amazing playoff moments playing next to Kyrie and KD and maybe James Harden. Maybe we'll see. But yeah, that's the long and short of, and Brooklyn should enjoy him. So that's the long and short of the Bruce Brown trade. I don't want to go too long because I don't want to give you guys, again, like I don't want to make you listen to me for 2 hours. So I could give you a little bit more, but I'm not. The next thing was the Jordan Bone not offering him a qualifying offer on his two-way deal, and so he becomes an unrestricted free agent. This made sense in the context of like what we're gonna talk about in the future, and also like it's a guy in a two-way, right? Like it shouldn't be surprising when a guy on a two-way doesn't necessarily like have an opportunity to make it up to the big club. That's like basically what these two-ways are for, to get looks at guys. But you know, Jordan Bone played really well for Grand Rapids in the G League. He had the athleticism I think you classically associate Troy Weaver with desiring from his from the players that he likes, and Jordan Bone kind of, we got some reports that Jordan Bone had kind of caught Dwayne Casey's eye in the Pistons like little summer mini camp OTAs, like little mini bubble, but apparently that wasn't enough, and who knows what that means, right? I'm not sure Jordan Bone will catch on with another NBA team, but I definitely think that another smart NBA team will give him an opportunity. I don't know if he's a starting caliber player, but like that's definitely a guy with that level of athleticism and pull-up shooting ability that he showed in the G League. Like that guy can be a backup point guard in the NBA, I think. And so yeah. And that, again, we talk about the crowded backcourt. That's one more, you know, that's, you know, maybe another like eight point guard minutes a night that we get to distribute someplace else. It's another eight backcourt minutes we get to distribute someplace else across this rebuilding restoration season for the Detroit Pistons. And so Jordan Bone hopefully will catch on someplace else. Hopefully this is not the last we hear of Jordan Bone, but it's also like not entirely surprising that a guy on a two-way does not, you know, make the team. You know, we didn't hear anything about the other two-way slot, Lewis King. Lewis King, I think, was a less effective player than Jordan Bone in the G League, but I think because of King's like length and size and youth, he's I think 3 or 4 years younger than Jordan Bone. I don't know if that gives him a better chance of making the Pistons, but I do think that this Pistons team is trying to get bigger and more skilled, and so Lewis King could possibly fit into that. Who knows? You know, a guy like Troy Weaver, you expect to want to make a lot of acquisitions. You expect him and all the scouts he's brought in, all the people with scouting backgrounds that he's brought into this front office, to have guys that they like, that they want to see on two-way contracts. And so we'll see how that goes. Now the Pistons have an open two-way slot, and so we'll see how at the end of draft night, you know, who they end up using that extra two-way slot on. But yeah, you know, just because we've seen the last of Jordan Bone doesn't mean we have seen the last of Lewis King in Detroit. But it wouldn't, you know, surprise me one way or another. There are pros and cons. And so the last thing I wanted to talk about before, again, we take a break and we get to future Laz right now here at 7:48 p.m. Eastern time is the trade we got right before the NBA draft. The Detroit Pistons picked up Trevor Ariza and the 16th pick in the 2020 NBA draft for a protected future first round pick. It didn't say the level of protections on the pick. Didn't say what year the pick was. So we don't have a lot to go off of on this trade right now. And then also kind of in a related, probably related move, we have the Rockets are purchasing Detroit's a 2021 second round pick from Detroit. It's the Lakers 2021 second round pick. They're purchasing that pick from the Pistons for $4.6 million. Now, the reason I'm telling you the amount they're purchasing it for is because that is an extremely exorbitant amount for a second round pick. If I remember, like the pick that became Jordan Bell, I remember when everyone was all like, oh man, the Warriors got Jordan Bell. Like, we can't believe we let this happen. That pick was, I think that was a pick in the 30s. And that was for, if I remember correctly, like $3 million. This pick that, like, you know, 4.6 million is more than 3 million. It's a lot more. And that 2021 Lakers pick is probably not going to be in the 30s, right? The Lakers are going to be really good. Given if they sign Anthony Davis, which I think everyone assumes is going to happen, the Lakers are going to be really good, right? That's, you're paying 4.6 million for a pick that's going to be, you know, in the late 50s, early to late 50s. And so what people are assuming, and I am going to agree with, is that this is a transaction. These are two separate transactions that are related, and that purchase of the second round pick is to help offset some of Ariza's salary this year. Ariza makes a nice chunk of change. I think it's in like the, you know, $15, $16 million range. And so, yeah. And this also leads me to believe that when we get more details on the protections for that pick, for that first round pick, the Pistons are ostensibly sending to the Rockets, right? Yeah, the Rockets. I will be surprised if the protections on that pick cause that pick to convey meaningfully anytime soon, right? I would be really shocked if it wasn't, like, you know, lottery protected next year, like top 10 protected in 2022, like top, you know, 8 protected in 2023, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, maybe it turns into a couple seconds in 2023 or something like that. But yeah, I'd be surprised if that was a real first round pick that the Pistons are sending. Because if we're being honest, you know, Trevor Ariza is a good player. Good role player, had a really good stretch for Houston a couple of years ago, but he is not worth a future first round pick. You know, that is not the guy. You know, a rebuilding team trades a future first round pick for, and so this really feels like, you know, Trevor Ariza and 16 for a future second, and, you know, maybe another set of future seconds. And this is, and, you know, the 16th overall pick combined with the moves that we talked about earlier between Bruce Brown and Jordan Bone, that leaves a lot of people to assume that the Pistons are going to take Patrick Williams at number 7 overall and then take a point guard, which is an area of need for this team with the 16th overall pick. I don't disagree with that assessment. You know, we still have, you know, that, and that remains to be seen. Like, the draft hasn't started yet. We're like 10 minutes away from the draft right now. You know, there have been reports that Patrick Williams could go as high as 4 to the Bulls. You know, Atlanta is rumored to like Patrick Williams. Atlanta's rumored to like a lot of people. And so we'll see what the Pistons' plans end up being tonight. But it does seem like the acquisition of, for now, at least another first-round pick does mean that they're going to try to address that point guard spot for sure. And that does, you know, offer them optionality at the number seven spot. One thing I haven't seen people talk about as much is that the Pistons could use 7 and 16 to try and trade up higher in the draft. I don't think they're going to do that, but it is a possibility that I want to mention, like, before we see it happens or not happen, as the case may be. And like, when you looked at the reports earlier today that the Knicks were looking to trade 8 and 23 for a higher lottery pick, like, it makes sense. Like 7 and 16, two better picks could maybe, you know, beat an offer of 8 and 23. But it also doesn't really seem like the Pistons are gonna do that. You'd still have to part with maybe another asset. I've maintained the Pistons don't really have the asset base to trade up, especially since, like, you don't want to give up assets at the point where the Pistons are at right now. And so, yeah, well, so right now, again, 7:54 p.m., Pistons have the 7th pick and the 16th pick in the 2020 NBA draft. And let's see what happens. Let's throw it to future Laz. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on every possible chance to win this season. Because Lord knows, if you're a Lions fan, there are not going to be that many opportunities for you to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. You go to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey guys, this is Laz. I'm back. It is 8:40 p.m. Eastern, and we got it from everybody. We got it from Woj, we got it from Shams, we got it from my good friend Amari Sankofa, we got it from James Edwards, we got it from Rod Beard. The Pistons are taking Killian Hayes at number 7. This is something that I have been willing into existence for 8 months. And so I'm really excited, you guys. I'm just he fits so seamlessly, right? The team needed a point guard. He, in my mind, was the best point guard in the draft. I was always kind of shocked that he would even be available at 7. You know, just because of he has everything you want in a point guard, right? He's got the ability to distribute, the pass-first mentality you like to see. He's good defensively. He's you can take and make off the dribble threes. He can finish at the rim. He can get to the rim. He can shoot free throws. He can get to the line. He rebounds a little bit, right? Like, he was the complete package. And the limiting factor for a lot of people was always, you know, the lack of, like, nuclear athleticism. And I talked about this in the scouting report piece I wrote on Killian, you know, God knows when, like 6 months ago. But yeah, like a year-ish of watching Derrick Rose, like, play for the Pistons, and my, like, love of Dennis Smith Jr., and just, like, watching those two guys kind of play made me acknowledge and recognize the, not the, like, limitations, but that, you know, elite level athleticism is not the end-all be-all for an NBA point guard, right? And so if you have, you know, league, if you Killian can get from point A to point B, so, like, I'm not worried about, like, him, you know, struggling at that at this level, at the NBA level. So, like, if you can get to point A to point B and you have a plan for what happens when you get there, and you know how the defense is going to react, and you know, like, what move you can get to, and you know, like, the low man's going to pull in, you can see, like, the help side rotations and stuff, like, like your basketball IQ, your basketball mentality and acuity matters so much more than your athleticism, even as you're an elite level athlete. And so I was just always a big fan of Killian's brain, right? And he's not a bad athlete, but like his brain is what really appealed to me. So yeah, the Pistons have their mythical point guard of the future. Shout out to the Detroit Bad Boys crew. Pistons finally have their point guard of the future. French connection with Sekou Doumbouya. Obviously, I know Sekou's a pretty happy camper right now. The pick has not been made official on ESPN. And we should talk a little bit about how the draft has gone so far. Anthony Edwards went 1. James Wiseman went 2 to Golden State. LaMelo Ball went 3 to Charlotte, to the Charlotte Hornets. And I think the surprise of the draft so far is that Patrick Williams went 4 to the Chicago Bulls. 4 was always the swing spot for me in this draft. You know, that was when, like, we had the top 3 prospects that people kind of expected, and then the draft could kind of get wild after that. And it kind of did, right? I understand fully why Chicago selected Patrick Williams. But you know, that's not exactly like what was mocked as happening prior to the draft. Cleveland took Isaac Okoro at 5. I think that's a really great pick for Cleveland. That's exactly what they needed, defense and the potential to, you know, be an impact player on the offensive end once he, you know, cleans up the shot a little bit. We have Atlanta taking Onyeka Okongwu at 6, which I think was like a little bit interesting. We got reports about his toe injury, and that did not cause him to drop in the lottery, which I think is good for him personally. But now Atlanta has John Collins and Onyeka Okongwu and Clint Capella, and I wonder how that trio will get together. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. And yeah, that lined up everything for the Pistons to take Killian Hayes. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was worried the Pistons would take Tyrese Haliburton, who is still on the board, who I think would be an excellent player for another team. But, you know, just what Haliburton offers is not really what the Pistons needed. The Pistons needed a guy who can potentially be the offensive engine that drives a team. And I think Killian Hayes has a chance to be that offensive engine that drives the Detroit Pistons. You know, before, you know, earlier you heard Past Laz talk about how the expectation was the Pistons would take Patrick Williams at 7 and a point guard at 16. Well, now that's flipped, right? Pistons have their point guard of the future at 7. And so at 16, you expect to see, you know, another wing player, another wing prospect. Maybe that's Sadiq Bey. Maybe that's, I can't even really think of any wing prospects like in that area. Maybe that's a guy like Aaron Naismith, a guy they've worked out. I think Naismith is kind of projected to go a little bit higher than that, but we'll see what ends up happening. You know, maybe it's still even RJ Hampton, right? We know the team likes RJ Hampton, and we do know that's kind of where RJ's been mocked to be. And so you kind of wonder what the team is going to do at 16 next. But yeah, for now, like this flips the plan on its head, right? Like they don't need 2 point guards. You shouldn't draft a center in the first round, just like point blank, period. At least, not even at 16, I don't think. And so, you know, you hope they pick another wing in the with the 16th pick. I will say, if they do pick up RJ Hampton at 16, you know, that bodes really really roughly for Luke Kennard and his extension prospects, which. You know, we'll see. Troy Weaver is really putting his stamp on this team, and we're gonna see what this holds for the future. But yeah, the Detroit Pistons take Killian Hayes at number 7 overall, and I could not be happier. We're gonna take another break, and then we'll come back with the pick at 16. Okay, hey guys, it is 9:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The 16th pick has just been made by the Portland Trailblazers for the Detroit Pistons, and it's Isaiah Stewart, the center out of Washington. And I think this is good because I get to do like both halves of the podcast, right? I get to do something, a piece of the podcast where you get to see my excitement and enjoyment of like what's going to happen with Killian Hayes, and then you get to see me question this team a little bit, because I don't, you know, Isaiah Stewart is a center, like he's a good defensive center. He had good post up numbers, but like, yeah, I struggled to see like how Isaiah Stewart makes an immediate impact, you know, on this team, right? Like, I'm very confused. I'm very confused. And like, I don't think he's a bad player, but like, I had him not even in my top five of bigs like available in this class, right? Like Jalen Smith. I thought Jalen Smith, who got drafted at 10 by Phoenix, I'm not gonna really talk about that. I thought Jalen Smith was a better player than Stewart. I thought Xavier Tillman, who is still on the board, I thought he was a better player than Stewart. A more, you know, more experienced defender than Stewart. I tweeted this. I thought the Pistons would go in the direction of RJ Hampton. I think, you know, with the selection of Killian Hayes, you know, RJ Hampton and Killian Hayes could be like the backcourt of the future. But I think what this pick tells us is that the Pistons, you know, do have a lot of faith in Luke Kennard to be part of their future. You know, conversely, if they hadn't, you know, if they had taken another guard, like maybe you could infer that some other way. But I think this is a vote of confidence in Luke Kennard and his future for the team. But yeah, I'm not very excited about this Isaiah Stewart pick. I don't think this is a great pick. Not because Stewart himself isn't a good player, which I'm sure he is. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I didn't do like an extensive scouting report on Stewart. I didn't really do an extensive scouting report on most of the big men. I just know, you know, Xavier Tillman because I watched him for 3 years. But yeah, the Pistons do need big men, right? If you don't count Christian Wood, who is an unrestricted free agent, and you don't count John Henson, who is an unrestricted free agent, and if you don't count Thon Maker, who I didn't see anything about the Pistons offering Thon Maker a qualifying offer. I don't know what the deadline for that is right now off the top of my head, but I would expect that's coming up soon. And if the Pistons do not offer him if they don't offer Thon Maker a qualifying offer, he would become a restricted free agent. That would make the only big men on this Pistons team, like Blake Griffin and Justin Patton, right? Those would be the only two like traditional big men. Like, you know, maybe Sekou plays some four or whatever, but like, yeah, those would be the only like traditional bigs on this team. And so you definitely like, there's definitely a place for a big man to like find rotation minutes on this team. But you know, there are a lot of, if you're just looking for like replacement level center minutes, like that is easily accessible without expending a top 20 pick in the NBA draft. I'd like, just philosophically, taking Stewart here doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, you know, he is a Piston. He will be a Piston. I hope he's good. I hope that watching his highlight package now, hoping the athleticism and defense translates. I hope that, you know, he offers a vertical threat for the likes of Killian Hayes and Derrick Rose. I hope he's a good interior defender, or becomes a good interior defender, because like that's a really important part of winning basketball is playing defense on the interior. But yeah, this is not as exciting a pick as could have occurred in my mind. But as I said on Locked On Cavaliers earlier, you know, I've resolved myself tonight to trust what Troy Weaver is going to do. I'm going to give Troy Weaver the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, this is his first draft, right? We're seeing his philosophy for the first time. And so yeah, we're gonna see what Isaiah Stewart is able to bring to this team. But yeah, this is kind of a disappointment. I mean, not that I fully expected RJ Hampton to be the pick here, because there had been so many kind of inklings about how much the team liked him and what he had to offer. And you saw the videos of like the improved shot making the improved like shooting that he was able to show like in his pre-draft process. You saw the overt athleticism that he has. That's again like a classic Troy Weaver trope of what he's interested in. And he was a high character guy, right? Like not everybody is able to make that transition to playing professionally over in Australia from America, and the way that RJ did. Teammates had nothing but good things to say about him. He enjoyed the experience. He was very mature in responses on some of the draft media calls. They're available on YouTube, so I was just going through them. And so, you know, I came away pretty impressed with RJ Hampton. But I do see like why you wouldn't take RJ specifically. Again, you know, how that factors into moving forward with Luke Kennard. But you know, there were other available options on the board, right? There was Sadiq Bey. There was a guy like Josh Green, another like wing type player. I talk about a guy like Tyrese Maxey, who would have been another guard, but another like high character, high impact defensive guard that I think Dwayne Casey would have had a ball coaching Tyrese Maxey. You think about even a guy like who else? I mean, you even think about a guy like a Jaden McDaniels, right? Like a higher upside wing type creator for this team. And so, yeah, I gotta say, like this Isaiah Stewart pick is not nearly as inspiring as the Killian Hayes pick was, but I very much hope it works out for the Pistons' sake. Okay, I'm not gonna sign off. I'm not gonna say this is the end of the podcast, but these are all the picks the Pistons are scheduled to make this NBA draft, and so we'll check out the rest of the second round. Hopefully, the second round flies through a little bit quickly. And we'll see if the Pistons buy another pick in the 40s or something and draft another rotation type player in that range. But yeah, you know overall draft pretty good. You know, anytime you draft the guy I had number one on my board, like I think you had a pretty good draft. And so we'll see what the night has in store for Detroit. So you'll get one. We'll take another break, and then we'll be back with anything else that the 2020 draft has to offer for us. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, say that three times fast, so that you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your draw criteria, so you can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move just as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try out Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. That's their best offer available anywhere. You go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Okay. Hey, it is 12:08 a.m. Thursday, November 19th, and the draft is pretty much over. I was holding off on this just because, like, man, after the Isaiah Stewart pick, I got kind of burned. Where I'm like, oh, hey, I think the Pistons are kind of done, and they very much were not. And so, yeah, I was hoping to talk about everything at once, so I didn't have to record like four more segments, right? As much as I would have enjoyed that, and you guys would have enjoyed that, I think that would have been a little bit tough on my psyche. I also managed to do a live stream with the Uncontested, the Oklahoma City Oklahoma City Thunder podcast for the Blue Wire Podcast Network. And so you should absolutely check that out if that gets released in podcast form. Thanks to the couple of you, I'm sure, were like showing up in the chat and asking questions. That means a lot. Troy Weaver did a lot of stuff tonight. So last we spoke, Isaiah Stewart had just gone 16th to the Detroit Pistons. I thought the Pistons were done right after that. There was a three-team trade. Landry Shamet was traded from the Clippers to the Brooklyn Nets. Luke Kennard was traded from the Detroit Pistons to the Los Angeles Clippers. And then the Pistons picked up Sadiq Bey with the 19th overall pick. I think that's the Brooklyn pick. And Rodney Magruder. For me, for this trade, like this is definitely a good piece of work for the team. And I'm going to say that a bunch. Detroit had a really great night from a draft perspective. And that leaves me feeling very good about the future direction of this team under Troy Weaver. But just isolating the trade, the lack of a Luke Kennard extension, the lack of, like, there's no whispers about Luke getting an extension from either the team or Luke. And to me, that always just really stuck out as like a big flashing red light that something was up, right? We talked about how he was in trade discussions at the deadline this previous season. We talked about how, didn't necessarily know if he was a guy that would fit as part of a team like led by Troy Weaver. He's not, he's a very good player, but he's not the type of player that Troy Weaver tends to associate with the kind of basketball he wants to play and construct. And so it always made a lot of sense that Luke was going to be traded. Pure value perspective, Luke was the 12th pick 4 years ago now. Trading him for the 19th pick in a draft that I think will end up being probably weaker than Luke's draft is not great, but I do love the pick that the Pistons were able to make, right? Sadiq Bey was a guy I think a lot of people had higher than 19th. I think he was a guy people had in like the top 11 or 12, top 15 for sure. And the Pistons did a good job of picking him up. Bey is going to be your prototypical pro professional basketball ready Villanova wing. He's already 6'8", shot over 40% from three, good team defender. You hope he makes the type of impact that Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart, both ex-Villanova guys, made right away. Now, that's not to say he's the like exact same type of player. I think he's less of a like an impact team defender than Mikal Bridges is, and I think he's less of a guy who's gonna like throw his body around and make plays than Josh Hart. But you hope like both of those guys found their ways, both Bridges and Hart found their ways into rotations really quickly, just because they were able to like do the things that NBA coaches love, which is like play a role and hit shots. And I definitely think Sadiq Bey can come in and do those things. I definitely think Sadiq Bey can come in, play some team defense, rebound a little bit, hit some shots, and make Dwayne Casey happy. And so, it's a good trade. I'm not mad at it. Sadiq Bey is the type of player I would have been interested in if they had traded Luke for a pick that was higher than 19, right? I will say it was a little bit interesting that RJ Hampton kind of fell in the draft. We knew the Pistons were interested in RJ Hampton. The Pistons had the opportunity to take RJ Hampton twice and passed on him. I wondered, earlier on the podcast, past Laz wondered if the Pistons not taking RJ Hampton was a sign of strength or belief in Luke Kennard. I mean, like, clearly we can say that wasn't the case anymore, but I do think that there's a desire to like not have Luke Kennard, or not, sorry, to not have a lot of youth on the floor at point guard, and between like Killian Hayes and RJ Hampton, I think that if they were thinking of RJ Hampton as a guard, they were thinking of him as a potential point guard, a potential lead guard. And with the selection of Killian Hayes, I think that that made RJ Hampton a little bit moot. Luke will be sorely missed by the fans. Luke was a really popular player. He's a really good player. I want to keep emphasizing that Luke was a really good player because I was often so critical of him. But my critiques did not make me like blind to what he contributed to a team, right? And I think he will have a lot of success on the Clippers, right? The Clippers needed somebody not named Kawhi Leonard or Paul George that could get them a bucket. Lou, like this, that's the role like Lou Williams was playing a lot for them. And Lou kind of struggled after his whole thing in the bubble. And I think Luke will be able to fill that role for them admirably. You know, you can play next to Lou Williams in a lineup that doesn't care about defense and you can just outscore those guys. You can play in end of game crunch time lineups flanked by, you know, better perimeter defenders, elite perimeter defenders in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And so the weaknesses that Luke has on that end are less of a factor than they would be, you know, playing next to, you know, Killian Hayes and Tony Snell. And so, yeah, like, I think Luke will have a lot of success in Los Angeles. I don't know if he's going to get paid, though. That I have not taken like a very close look at the Clippers salary cap situation, but I know with like, you know, two max players, and I think they're hoping to re-sign Harrell, their sixth man of the year. Lou Williams is still in the books. Avicii Zubac is still in the books. I don't know if they're going to find, like, you know, the 15 to 16 to 17 million that I'm sure Luke Kennard is looking for. And so that's an interesting threat, or not threat, sorry. It's an interesting situation for Luke moving forward. If he's able to ball out and play really well for a team that's going to make a deep playoff run, I think that will make him very valuable across the league. And that will bode well for like what he tries to bring, or what he like wants to get in a contract situation. So yeah, we're gonna miss Luke the same way we're gonna miss Bruce Brown. We're gonna miss Luke, but I love what Sadiq Bey offers this team. Oh, and I shouldn't ignore Rodney Magruder, right? Like Rodney Magruder is a very solid veteran player. That kind of his presence probably means the death knell of the return of Langston Galloway to Detroit, which is unfortunate. Like, I liked Langston. Langston was a good dude. He was a good locker room dude. But I have no reason to believe that Rodney Magruder is anything other than a good locker room dude as well. So you get a little bit of that. Magruder was a really effective glue player for the Miami Heat a couple of years ago. I think he was injured a little bit this season with the Clippers, and I think the Clippers were hoping that he could do a lot of what he was doing for Miami for them, but the injury kind of made that difficult. And so the Pistons will need a little bit less of what Magruder offers on the floor, but I think he will make an excellent example for a lot of the youth that's on this team, and a guy who just like comes in, does his role, knows where he's supposed to be, is very responsible, just like does all the veteran stuff and can still play a little bit. I think that's important. So yeah, we shouldn't ignore Rodney Magruder's potential contributions to this Pistons team with this trade, but the bulk of this trade is basically Luke Kennard for Sadiq Bey, which I think is fine. Okay, the second trade the Pistons make was a really nice piece of work. Picking up, they traded for cash. Pistons gave out cash, future considerations. It was unclear what the future considerations were. I asked about it. Apparently it's just cash, so that's great. Just you trade cash, you get a player, that's good. It's not my cash, I don't care about the cash. They picked up Tony Bradley and the 38th pick for that cash from the Utah Jazz. The 38th pick became Vanderbilt point guard Saben Lee. I don't know a lot about Saben. I like the fact that his highlight reel, what they showed like when he got drafted, was just him dunking on guys. That's pretty cool. I'm enjoying that. That seems to be your Jordan Bone developmental point guard replacement. He will be on a two-way per James Edwards III of The Athletic. Shout out, James. And so, like, yeah, that's, like, quite functionally you're replacing Jordan Bone with that guy as a developmental point guard. Lee is younger, but I don't know if he's more – I don't know if he would play as effectively in the G League as Jordan Bone managed to do this previous year. But, you know, that's a risk I'm willing to take. Troy Weaver sees something in this guy. I'm willing to trust Troy Weaver's eye. The other bit of this – is Tony Bradley. Getting Tony Bradley for free is actually, like, that's pretty good. Tony Bradley was very effective defensively for the Utah Jazz. He's a little bit limited offensively, but even in a playoff setting against the Denver Nuggets, like, Bradley was just always kind of in the right place positionally, a good rebounder, like a great hustle guy. Like, I really like this Tony Bradley acquisition, man. Like, this is going to be good. The Pistons have kind of shored up their front court, right? Like, you know, coming into tonight, you know, the only bigs technically on the roster were going to be, you know, Blake Griffin and Justin Patton. You know, adding Tony Bradley and Isaiah Stewart to that mix, I think, is pretty good. I wonder, you know, who they're going to... I wonder who's going to win that battle. That's going to be a very interesting training camp battle, who wins the starting center job. I do think it's interesting that all of the centers that Troy Weaver have brought in are kind of like, you know, defensive-minded, rim-protecting, not particularly tall guys. I don't think... I'm actually going to double-check this, but I think Bradley is, like, a little bit undersized for his position. Like, he's not like a big, like, 7 foot, like, behemoth. He's 6'10. Yeah. So he's not undersized. He's not like 6'9, but like Stewart is. But he's not like, you know, 7'2 guy in the middle there either. Yeah. Like, it's late. You can probably hear me kind of like hemming and hawing and doing everything. But, like, yeah, I really like the Tony Bradley acquisition. This is the kind of, like, the little things that I get to nerd out about, because Tony Bradley is a pretty good player, and, like, he wasn't ever going to be the starting center in Utah because they have Rudy Gobert, and, like, he's not better than Rudy Gobert. But he can still be, like, an effective NBA player. I think this is the type of guy I envisioned the Pistons, like, picking up to fill in that front court role. So if they had made a different pick at 16, if they had just brought in Tony Bradley and not drafted Isaiah Stewart, I'd be feeling like really great. If they had drafted, I don't know, somebody else with that 16th pick, I would have been feeling a lot better. But yeah, that was a good trade. Anytime you can pick up two very useful players for basically nothing in cash, I mean, like, it is Tom Gores' money. There are going to be a lot of teams, I think, who we always kind of wondered if there would be a lot of teams who would be willing to sell second round picks because of the economic instability that is currently happening with COVID and no fans in arenas and stuff. But yeah, like, you know, it's a good bit of trade work to get Tony Bradley into Detroit. So yeah, I like, and, you know, Saben Lee's athletic and he's going to be developmental. So I'm excited about both halves of this trade for the Pistons. The one thing that I think I've seen other people bring up and I want to close with, because we'll be talking about free agency in the future, right? Tonight's about the draft. But it's not insignificant that the Pistons added a little bit of salary tonight, right? The Trevor Ariza deal added a bunch of salary to the books, and then they've added, you know, three rookies and a guy, Tony Bradley, who's on a rookie scale deal, but I think makes like, you know, $3-4 million, something like that. And they've cut down on their potential cap space, right? Kevin Pelton of ESPN gave the Trevor Ariza trade he gave the Pistons like a C- grade for the trade because it cut into their ability to sign Fred VanVleet, which Kevin Pelton just fully misunderstands like what this offseason is about. But hey, you know, it is what it is. But I will say the addition of all this salary does cut into their ability to sign one particularly key unrestricted free agent for the Detroit Pistons, and that's Christian Wood. You know, I am not alone in noting this. Other Pistons Twitter luminaries, such as like Duncan Smith and Nkou Cahill, have also kind of noted that, like, hey, like, they're running out of space to bring back Christian Wood. Not feeling super great about that, and they're right to, right? It would, I don't know what Christian Wood is looking for in his next NBA contract. I don't know if he's looking to play for a winner. His tweets, you know, he tweeted, I think, infamously, like, I want to win. And so, you know, maybe he is looking to play for a winner. Maybe he's looking to sign the largest contract available to him. That would make a lot of sense. Again, as a guy who is still, you know, on the younger side, he's 24, 25, but a guy who has never made like an extensive amount of NBA money in his career, getting the opportunity to sign for big money, I think that's an opportunity any of us would jump at. And so I don't begrudge Christian Wood the opportunity to do that, but it is looking pretty unlikely that the Pistons will be able to match like an obscene Christian Wood offer. I think the Pistons still will have, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 15, 14 million in cap space after the dust settles. Do they want to use all of that cap space on Christian Wood? That's an open question. Do they want to be a team that operates, you know, over the cap, but is on pace, right? It was a very young team on pace to win like 25, 30 games. Like, that also doesn't make a ton of sense from a financial perspective. If we're, you know, if we're just playing with Tom Gores' money, right, it doesn't make a lot of money to, it doesn't make a lot of sense to pay a lot of money for a team that's not going to win that many games, and a team that you know is not going to win that many games, and a team that is not going to win that many games by design. It doesn't make a lot of money to, it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend a lot of money on a team like that. And so, yeah, we'll talk about free agency on future podcasts. We'll talk about free agency on the Detroit Bad Boys podcast with Ben Gulker. But yeah, if you were a Pistons fan, and there are legions of Pistons fans who was just like the only thing you wanted this offseason was to re-sign Christian Wood. This looks pretty unlikely, and I'm sorry for that. But, you know, on the whole, you should be encouraged that the Pistons had a really good night, right? The team will look very, very different, but all the moves that they made in the draft, I think, point towards a future in which the Pistons that are a long, defensively inclined, very tough mentally, very high character team. Those are all things that kind of point that Troy Weaver and Dwayne Casey can embrace and point in the same direction on. And I think that's a team that the city of Detroit has tended to embrace when the Pistons are good. And so, like, I definitely think that the restoration of the Detroit Pistons into a classic Detroit Pistons team is off to a roaring start under Troy Weaver. So yeah, that's been the podcast. It is now 12:27 a.m. I need to go to sleep so I can go work in the morning. But actually, I gotta edit this and put in the ads and everything. So yeah, I'm Lazarus Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Last Chance. That's at LazChance. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can also find my other podcast, the Detroit Bad Boys podcast, on the same platforms that you find this podcast. You can read my work, of which I'm sure I will have a lot of stuff to write about in the not too distant future, on DetroitBadBoys.com, the SB Nation Pistons fan site. And yeah, this has been a fun night. It's been a tiring night, and it's been a good night for Pistons fan though. And we'll talk some more about what this night means for the Pistons later. See you guys then.